Hi, it's Alex, your host and also the manager of Freedom Kids. If you are looking for a way to break free from rigid classrooms and raise free-thinking kids in a thriving community, this is for you. At Freedom Kids, we are building a network of decentralized, self-sufficient towns where families can live in freedom, safety, and connection with nature. Our learning approach is real life, hands-on, and tailored to each child with partnerships like Prisma, Khan Academy, Kubrio, and the Socratic Experience, plus an umbrella school for legal homeschooling support. And for all the families relocating from restrictive countries, our legal support and community-driven Freedom Relocation Toolkit will help you with every step of your way. So, are you ready to reset the way you live? Join us. Join the Freedom Movement. You will find all the details to the project in the description of this episode and the general podcast. I'm really looking forward to see you there.
Cool. No problem.
I'm okay with it. Nice. So cool. Daniel, you are back again on my podcast. I think you've been my first or second guest on my podcast when I started this. And I never thought that you would agree to be my guest. Anyway, second time. And I need to say, I'm still a huge fan of your work. I really love what you do. And you are into the unschooling, homeschooling thing as well. So maybe you can just give us like an update on what is happening in your life. How is homeschooling, unschooling going with your 2 million kids? No, it's four or three.
Yes. Thank you for having me back, Alex. And thank you for what you do and spreading as much education as you possibly can. And we even shared time in Madeira on a panel together, which was really good panel, actually. There was yourself, Sylvie from A Place to Be in Madeira, where her and Rob are building an unschooling community with a Bitcoin focus. And Pablo as well, who's very heavily involved in the Sovereign Engineering cohort over there in Madeira and Free Madeira and helping people and businesses accept Bitcoin, and he's also part of that unschooling community. And the work you do with your podcast, we just have to, especially families with really young kids, you know, brand new babies even, because they get tricked by the system into giving brand new babies straight over to daycare and getting back out to work and whatever else. And these are such that, like, the as Rob would tell you, these are the moments in life where, like, the trauma is set. It's set for the rest of that kid's life because you have the trauma of separation. And there's no one doing it. And, like, what are we doing? Like, why are we doing it in the first place? So I just hope that conversations like this and, like, the panel we had, I have fond memories of that panel, actually, because one of the early questions came up from a guy. I think he said something along the lines of, I've got a friend who would really like to do this, probably talking about himself, who knows. I've got a friend who would probably like to do this, but, you know, hasn't got the time or hasn't got the resources or doesn't, it's not quite the right time, blah, blah, blah. And I started answering, but then within seconds, Pablo had interjected, you'd interjected, Sylvia had interjected. I'm like, I can just relax up here. This is amazing. I got my guys up here doing this.
Yes,
this is,
you got
so
this
cool.
True.
And do you remember do you remember that moment as well? And
yes.
what the message was relayed to him?
Yes, exactly. And I still remember what I said. I told him, like, if I can do it, and I'm a single mom, I didn't have any resources, no help. My family hates me. Everyone around me hated me at that moment when I started unschooling and doing my thing. So this is just, for me, like, bullshit. It's just mental work you have to do and grow out of it. Grow over yourself. Grow some pair of balls. We all need to do it on some point for our kids. And this is why it doesn't even feel so scary, because you know you gotta do it. Otherwise, someone else is gonna care for your child. And this, I think, feels way worse than growing a pair of balls and just doing whatever you should be doing as a responsible parent.
Yes, yeah, I remember and that. That's exactly. And I remember Pablo saying, like, you know, what's more important? Like your job or your child? Like what do you think? Where are your priorities? Why did you bring this little person into being? Like, you know, that resets everything up until that point of your life. you've been building towards that moment. Now exactly. The moment is upon you. And yeah, it's, you know, it's responsibility time. And here's the thing that a lot of people listening to this that have taken this or are considering taking this action is you're going to be called an irresponsible parent. Mm-hmm. The opposite is true. Like, it's the complete inverse of like, it's like, what are you saying? Like, no, irresponsible to me now. And I used to be Mr. Normie and sent the kids off to school and whatever else and did the right things and lived in the right catchment area and to get them in the right place and blah, blah, blah. You know, you think you're being responsible by doing that, by living in a certain place so you can get them into a certain school because that's been given the certificate by, you know, the governing body in the UK. It's called Ofsted. I don't know what they're called around the world, but I'm sure there's like this ladder system, this league table system where this bureaucracy would go around marking teachers and looking at student results and looking at facilities and then give that school a rating, right? Absolute nonsense. But that's what you're tricked into doing as a parent. You think you're being responsible by taking those actions. And then the first thing you do is give your child up.
Crazy, isn't it?
It's amazing. It's such a powerful trick. Such a powerful trick that's been played.
Really. But it only works because society is broken beyond repair. And I think I just reconnected with a very good friend from, let's say, when I was a teenager. And I had my child quite early. I was 23. And now 12 years later, she had a baby. And she decided to put him to in daycare, I think, for his first birthday. And of course, it's her decision. What can I say? But it hurt my soul. And maybe one day she will listen to this episode. That's okay. I love you. I still love you, Sarah, really much. And I felt like, wow, the amount of pressure I cannot imagine she is going through, because she's the one that I thought, if she becomes a mom, she will completely change everything in her life. And obviously she didn't. For what reasons? I don't know. But I feel like if we lost her as a like all in mom, who's going to do it now? Like it's out of the trend. I don't know. But I really feel like, wow, I've met so many new moms in the last couple of months. I don't know what happened on this planet. Everyone is having babies and nobody's really considering staying at home. It's crazy. And I thought we are going into the direction of healing the planet instead of repeating the mistakes we did in the last, I don't know, 100 years. But it seems like the message is not spreading that there's an alternative, like staying home with your kid.
Yeah, it's very, so a couple of things have happened, haven't they, throughout history, specifically aimed and demonically aimed at women. And you know, this idea, and I spoke with Rachel Geyer about this. She came on my podcast, and Rachel works at a Bitcoin mining company, and she has four kids of her own. And you know, they're all big now. You know, they're out in the world, they're doing their thing, they're 18 upwards. And she said, "I was sold an absolute dummy on feminism, like it's really sad. You know, got it all completely wrong." And when you look back in history and how that all come to be and how it was pushed and what it's become, to be the stay-at-home mother, like the all-in mum, whatever, shows a sign of weakness rather than strength, caring, and belonging. You know, what? Like, no, you've got to be the mum as well as like the CEO or the CFO or a high flying legal eagle or something, and because then you've made it. You're like, no, that's nonsense. Like, go and have those things if you want, but like we said before, when you get to the point of raising children, of bringing another human being into this planet, like that, all bets are off. Doesn't matter what's happened before. Doesn't matter what stress is and, you know, sunk cost fallacies that you've been subjected to, and brainwashing and programming and your, you know, the belief systems that have been instilled in you by somebody else, by the way, that has programmed you to think in that particular way. Like, no, this is it now. Like, this is, you just procreated. Like, that is the reason for being. Lap that up for a little bit and just lean into that. And yeah, I like you. I really like that. We need to meme that, an all in mum. if it's not being,
because stay at home mum is burned.
Yeah, but stay at home mum has these negative connotations, right? It's just a ridiculous saying.
Yeah. All in mum. It sounds disgusting. Yeah.
An all in mum is much better.
All in, yeah, because you really have to be all in, because this is what your job is on this planet. God gave you a body to produce babies, so do it. I've been wondering what maybe you have an opinion on that or experience, because I've been talking to some male people in my field, and they were all so disgusted by the stay-at-home mom term. They were like, oh, I could never date a stay-at-home mom or something like that. And I was like, wow, this is crazy, first of all. I think it's the other way around. If someone tells me, wow, I'm a stay-at-home dad, I'm like, ha-ha, tell me more. This is great. Are you single, by the way? And
yeah.
And I really need to say, oh, no, I forgot what I wanted to say. No, maybe not.
You were talking about when men wouldn't date somebody that wanted to be a stay-at-home
exactly.
mom.
Exactly, stay-at-home people. And I really felt like staying at home is such a privilege. And that shows me someone has his shit together. Because staying at home with a kid is actually way more work than going out and doing some other people's work. So I've been wondering, how do you communicate with other guys about this? Because I just met one guy that was like, if I see a woman caring for her kids really well, it makes me so horny. And I was like, wow, this should be normal, because it's the same for me. If I see a dad and he's really good with his kids, I'm like, oh, I hope he's single.
That's the natural feeling, like that is just being in tune with like our natural biology. You should. And, you know, physical attraction, right? Many men, probably not anymore because they're scrolling through Tinder and they're looking for the Botox lips and the fake boobs. But like back in the day, it would be you get attracted to like childbearing bodies. And maybe that was larger than normal breasts or larger than normal hips or whatever. You know, you're either a bum man or a leg man or a boob man, right? That was the thing. But now, no, people want to know, oh, yeah, so what are you going to be? Yeah. What trajectory are you on? What degree do you have? Like, what career are you in currently? What's your position? It's so freaking empty. It's just awful. It's just fiat mindset. And Seb Bunny talks about this a lot in his book, The Hidden Cost of Money.
Yes.
And
love it.
For listeners, yeah, it's brilliant. For listeners that haven't heard that, there's a whole chapter about motherhood in that. It's from pregnancy, you know, the mother going through pregnancy and how this monetary system in which we've all been tricked into living under has effects in the womb. And it's so detrimental to absolutely everything else. If you're building that, you're building foundations on quicksand because of the money, and your mind, it can never think straight, and you're never going to be at ease, and that is releasing all of these endorphins, all of the stress from your brain into your bloodstream, which gets into the baby. Here's the thing, Alex, we say it's broken. Unfortunately, it's working perfectly designed.
Disgusting, isn't it?
This is the darkness of it all. You know, there has been a huge push to break down the family unit for many, many decades. And this is the communist kind of dream, right? You split down, you have to split, directly split the strongest bond in the community, and that is the family. And when you look at openly communist countries such as China, they had the one child policy running for decades. Like, just those words coming out of my mouth, I couldn't think of anything more inhumane to do to a group of hundreds of millions of people. My God, the sickness behind that decision is beyond. I can't even put it into words.
Yeah, I had that feeling lately a lot because I felt like I've been in my bubble for such a long time on this little island where we live, and I don't have to see what is happening outside. And then I had like the feeling, okay, now I need a reality check because I'm looking for a new country to move to. And I was like, wow, what is going on out there? I knew it was bad, but that bad? Wow, it's disgusting. And I really looked into countries that are family friendly explicitly. Like, you can have kids there. Nobody's like on the street, oh my God, she has four kids. It's disgusting. No, quite the opposite. I was looking into that. Where can we live? Like, where can people grow and make more of these beautiful human beings? Because what I really thought, like, people are so grossed out by kids. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. I know so many people that are really disgusted by kids. And like, wow, I would just collect kids random from the street if I could and bring them home. Like, what? It's insane to think. But then I was thinking and talking with my grandma about that. And my grandma really told me, like, Alex, you know, before you had your own child, you hated kids. You hated babies. You thought they were disgusting. And I was like, yes, because society made me be like a hustler instead of a caring mom. And it was really embarrassing to care for someone or have this caring feelings, motherly intuitions and these kind of things. No way. You weren't allowed to have that when I was young. And I really hope that there are a lot of moms out there really pushing their kids into the direction. No, that's normal. You care for somebody, caring for somebody else and wanting to have a family, wanting to have kids, and it's not disgusting. That's crazy. Because in my family, it's disgusting to have a baby, and especially disgusting is if you breastfeed, because what the fuck?
What?
It's crazy, isn't it? Really, this is what my family told me. Oh, please don't breastfeed. It's so disgusting. And then we have to see it. Okay, you're all lost. You're all fucking lost. And I cannot describe the embarrassment for this. And I felt so sorry for them. How many generations has that been going on? And I was the first to break that. So I really hope there are a lot of more women out there really proud to breastfeed.
We've noticed this. We've noticed this because, well, in 2014, so we're going back 11 years, that's when we stepped out of like the fiat matrix. You know, I gave up the job and Claire and I took the kids out of school and we started traveling the world with them. And when you realize that you're that family, so the kids were then 8, 6, and 2 3-year-old twins. So all should have been locked away, right? And this is what's happened. We've been tricked into locking away our 1 to 22-year-olds, right, in classrooms for 8 hours a day. And then our 22-year-olds to 65-year-olds in cubicles for 10 to 12 hours a day. And then our old people in old people's homes.
Yeah.
And it is so obvious when you see it, when you walk around, when you're free from all of that shit and you can, I'm walking around with the kids on a Friday afternoon at 1:30 in the high street and everyone's looking at us thinking like, you, what are you doing? Like, why aren't the kids at school? Like, you, I remember specifically we were in the UK. Oh, you'd get on a bus or you'd go to a cinema and like, you know, the people around you, or you'd walk into a coffee shop just to go and get a cup of coffee and a croissant, take the kids with you. The only other people in there are busy professionals that are in and out for their freaking cancer laden coffee cup, freaking wax paper, whatever, where they know their £7 latte, or the older people that have, you know, that are retired now. Now the older people are in there and they like quiet. They don't want kids in there. Like, you know, old people used to be attracted to babies, to new life. That is an actual endorphin rush. That is a physical attraction at the basal level. And you still see it in some countries. Like, if you get down to like southern Spain, for example, and you go to one of the squares as the sun is setting, like 7 or 8 o'clock, and there's always the old grandmas and the old grandpas sitting around on the bench, smiling, watching kids run around playing, kicking footballs, and they want to call them over and talk with them, and or if they fall over, they want to be the first to pick them up and brush them down. And we were staying in Italy once, and the kids were very little. The twins were 4. They were our youngest. And we got on a bus, and it was packed. It was standing room only. And one old nonna, she just reaches down. She didn't even ask. She just reaches down, mm-hmm. picks up Samuel, because she was attracted to, like, the new life that had gone onto the bus. And she was an old lady, and maybe she had a grandson of her own and whatever, but that was like that one. Picked him up, sat him on her lap. She didn't even know he wasn't Italian. So just blabbers away in Italian, pointing out all of the, like, oh, there's a dog, I guess, or there's a fire engine, and look up there, look at the shape of that cloud. You know, just chatted to him the whole 20-minute ride, and we got off. That made her day. And that
and
is
his
not
day.
Weird. Right? Yeah, and his yeah. day too.
Yeah,
and that is not weird. People now see that
as
weird. That's the most normal thing any one of us could do, but we've had that beaten out of us. And yeah, there's a saying in England, like, children should be seen and not heard. And that is the saddest thing. It's the saddest thing I could ever think of. And every time now I walk past a school and I just see them all trapped in there for playground, in the concrete playground for, you know, 15 minutes of running around before their next soul crushing lesson. I can't feel anything but empathy, and I just want to boost them. I'm like, right, you know, this literally is prison. So I don't know how we get that back. It should come back. But as long as people are trapped in this system, they haven't found their way out, and they haven't put their finger on the problem, which is the money that they're being used forced to use as a medium of exchange. And there is a better way, and there's a better way to store your value and save and interact with people, with like-minded people who are on the same kind of wavelength as you. Then they're gonna forever be trapped, and that's why your friend Sarah is still there.
Yes. Ah, and the baby boy, he's so fucking damn cute, you know. It's just how can you give it away? Just I would die. I couldn't do it. But your story with the grandma on the bus, I had this hot, like, it's heartwarming, and I experienced that in Thailand as well. We've been to very remote area, and I was basically afraid of the people because they weren't speaking English at all. I wasn't speaking, I don't know what language they were talking. So I was like, okay. And my kid wasn't talking at all. And it was like, okay, it's in the middle of nowhere, and I just have to trust these people because they are the only people around me now. And they were like so open-minded with a kid, and they just picked him up. They were driving around on a motorcycle with him, and they didn't even bother to ask me. For them, it was normal to integrate him into their family as soon as possible, get him to know all the other kids. And when I got him back, he was just so happy. And I was like, okay, he's back, first of all, that's good. And secondly, he's fine. And third, why is this happening in a country I've never even been to? I never met these people, and they were like, they gave me more love and my baby than people that should have been doing this way back in my home country. So since then, I really try to be very, very lovely with people I meet, with babies, to show them I'm not disgusted by your baby. Because really, this feeling of having like guilt feelings about having a kid, that is just insane. That has to stop. And I know so many moms, doesn't matter the age, young or old or no matter what, they all have guilt-tripping feelings of bringing life into this world. And I think this is a point where at least we as parents, we should, I don't know, maybe reconsider if guilt is such a good thing to have in this moment, because we should be fucking happy and proud and everything instead of feeling guilty to add more people to this planet. But I think there is one thing. And my cousin, he said to me, like, we cannot have kids because we are overpopulated.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, next bullshit. Of course we are overpopulated with the wrong people, maybe, but I don't even believe that. No. I don't even believe that. No. And no. I think we need more good people instead of less. We need more of them. So let's produce more and be more happy and share that.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. We've had people in our lives as well that haven't had kids because there's already too many people on the planet, which is nonsense. I mean, next time you take an air trip, just look out the window or go on Google Maps if you want and just like zoom out even around your local town. You will find, oh shit, that's all fields for like miles and miles and miles. So you likely live in an overcrowded area, but that is, again, by design of the central planners. We're not overpopulated, just vast swathes of this planet are completely inhabited. Like, it's such a nonsense claim. And the other point I was going to make here about, the climate change, another one. Oh, I couldn't bring new life into this planet when it, you know, we're probably all going to just like explode and burn and die. And by 2030, if we don't do the great reset, you're like, what are you saying? Like, this is how insidious this whole narrative is. Everything is against, basic common sense. If you just take one step back and look at common sense, build it up from first principles, all of the reasons that we've just discussed and many more that people might, you know, not want to have babies can just be completely smashed down. And you mentioned breastfeeding earlier. The most natural thing to do. You know what's unnatural? Filling a plastic bottle with a rubber latex teat with powdered soy and God knows what else they put in that shit and then mix it with fluoridated water to feed to your baby.
If you do it by yourself, okay, but most of the people, because number one reason my mom told me to bottle feed is like, you can give it away so easily. And I was like, dude, this is the last thing I want to do. Give it away so somebody else feeds it. It's crazy.
No.
Let's not talk about that. It's just insane to me. Really insane.
Yeah, it is completely crazy. And you've got something so young and so precious and so special. And it's missing that bond because, you know, the skin to skin contact is the thing that is so important. No, I'm fully clothed, plastic bottle, rubber tip, God knows what liquid, creating havoc with the little baby's digestion system, which leads to all of this reflux and whatever else, because it can't handle it. It's not designed to handle that shit. Like, absolute nonsense. Like plant-based powder from God knows what field and God knows what country that's had God knows what sprayed on it to then get shipped in an aluminium can to sit on a supermarket shelf for weeks on end. That's what you want to feed your baby instead of breast milk.
It's crazy.
Please reconsider.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I haven't been thinking about that when I was young and I had my kid, but now I'm thinking about all the energy and frequency we are surrounded by, and that is so important. At some point, I was like, how do people even survive? How do they get so old? I don't even understand it at this point, because if I would be living that lifestyle, I would drop that tomorrow maybe, because I don't know. But some people seem to be made of plastic already, so they can go through it and digest it somehow. I don't know. No clue how they do it, really.
It's I've been thinking about that too, because we're surrounded by these non-native EMFs, these 5G towers, the crap they spray in the skies, and people are going to think, oh, here we go, conspiracy theory, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Just look up.
It's true.
Just look up.
They admitted it. You
know, I know, they've admitted it several times. And just go to any AI platform and, you know, type in list the patents for weather modification or geoengineering or whatever else, and see how many decades this goes back, and see who's involved. I mean, very much the military, and you know how covert those guys are, and like whatever. So anyway, you got that going on, and then the stuff that I've already mentioned that gets sprayed on the crops and ends up in your bloodstream. The vaccines that they push on people, especially, you know, kids from birth, and like just draw a line on every single fucking vaccine. Just end it. Like, no more. Like, what a failed experiment that's been for so many freaking decades. And how are we still functioning? Like, for people, yes. Like, and the food that people eat as well. And you go, like I say, you know, we'll go out. We'll go out during the day, and maybe we'll go into a supermarket. And at the checkout, there will be the lady that is in her 30s, but weighing well in excess of 100 kilograms and clearly unhealthy. You're like, well, how long does that last?
Yes. You know,
I
don't understand.
It's actually testament. It's testament to the human body. I would say that.
Yes.
We can clearly withstand way more than people have, you know, heart surgeries and whatever else, and then they're back and like, you know, wow, like, you know, that is unbelievable. But yeah, I know, Alex, like you, I go through, I flip and flop. I feel as though, yes, the world is healing because you see something positive, or a close friend or a family member or a complete stranger will say something that you're like, yes, people are waking up. And then you're like, nah. Oh my God. You forget how powerful this machine is, that people don't realize they're in a war of information and programming. What's going on? What's very scary in Europe at the moment? Two countries seem to be leading this charge: France and England. Countries that, you know, one I'm from and one I've lived in for many years, pushing this idea that we need to bolster defense and we need to perhaps look at conscription for young men to join the army or the navy or the RAF. You're like, wow. What?
Yes, crazy, isn't it?
It's madness. And then watching England were playing a football game the other night, and so I sat down with my 14-year-old son to watch the game. And there, right at the beginning, during the national anthems, was like a squadron of army, military, fully clothed, at the football game. You're like, this is just a recruitment drive at this point, because they, you know, they know what they're doing. They know who to target. And then there'll be the advertisements during the halftime break, and same with the rugby. You know, you're like, wow, like this is so sick. And then you think, no, we can't go down this route. The world isn't healing. Like if they truly think that war is a good idea, like we're so far from being healed. It's just the worst.
It is. And it's really scary, because I've been telling my family since I left Germany that I feel like there's another war coming, and I don't want my kid to be on the front fighting somebody else's son. That is just crazy to me. And my family was like, yeah, never. That's never going to happen. We learned from the last war and stuff. And obviously they didn't, because Germany as well, they are doing it all over again. And now I feel like they still don't really see what's going on. It's in the news, but everyone is like so relaxed about it. And I mean, I'm how many thousands of kilometers far away from that country, and I still have anxiety for them. How is that even possible that they are in the middle of it and not feeling it? I mean, I'm visiting just once a year, and I see the changes maybe better because of that.
Yep.
But last time I saw so much military, I saw so many changes into the direction of preparing for war. Like they've been stabilizing bridges for like trucks to go over, like military trucks and stuff like that. And people just ignore it. And I thought maybe this is a consequence of one of or of the complexity of these vaccinations, because I've been reading so many papers that this really changes your perception of reality, your personality. And I've seen it in my family, way more anxiety, way more psychological weirdnesses, I would say. So maybe people just cannot really feel and see what's going on. Maybe it is what it is.
So just yesterday I was playing golf with a fellow Bitcoiner, and we were on the, we were just going around to the fifth hole, and the air ambulance come out of nowhere and starts circling and lands directly on the fairway. So we're like, what the hell is going on? And then we get directed off like, oh, go play these holes and you'll have to come back later. There's an emergency and blah, blah, blah. So we stopped after nine and we asked, you know, what's going on? Is it all good now? And yeah, well, apparently there was some incident in the car park. An incident in the car park? What, for an air ambulance, a fire and a police car? Mm-hmm. I thought it was a drill or something because of the magnitude of the overreach of the response. We're like, oh, okay, well, he's like, yeah, well, anyway, it's gone now. As you probably saw, it's taken off. So, of course, it's fully operational again. We're like, okay, yeah, great. And then he just goes on to say, yeah, we've seen it all here in the last 18 months. Let me tell you. Okay, go on. He's like, yep, that's the third time the air ambulance has been. All right. What were the other two times for? He's like, yeah, two different separate heart attacks. You know, go on. Yeah, didn't make it. So let me get this right. They're out playing golf, probably half active, gentlemen. They were both guys, he said. Both didn't make it. And you're like, you're just waiting for him to connect the dots. Is he going to get there?
It's not happening.
No, absolutely. So Rick and I walk out. We're like, what do you think, mate? Myocarditis? Yeah. All right. It's so obvious to us.
Yeah,
like it is. But it's just, you know, you do feel as though you're banging your head against a brick wall. And I've clearly not read the same amount or as in-depth research as it sounds as though you've been going down. But I don't doubt it.
Yeah, you know? I just had this gut feeling because suddenly there were so many from my family having psychological issues. And I was like, wow, I knew they were all crazy, but that crazy, that is new. That was like, and everyone had the same issue, like psychological issue. And I was like, okay, this is coming from somewhere and you were all vaccinated and maybe this is it. And I was right. That is the saddest part, you know, all that shit started, I told my son, I really think this and this and this is what's going to happen. I really think it. This is the future. I really hope I'm not right. But turned out I was right. And that is the hardest part, really. Mm-hmm. Being right about that shit going down. But it is what it is.
Yeah, we had the same. We had the same. Yeah. And just like trying to explain to the kids, like, you know, this is going on. This is wrong. This is not what should be happening. This is complete and utter total nonsense. We're not going near those things. And and so they get to see it play out as well. And you know, what a shit thing to see, you know, for young kids.
Yes, really.
And what an important thing to see. I maybe this is all part of the pendulum swing, you know. It's got this far to the wrong side that now they've seen it and now they understand it. They'll never, like we say, don't make the same mistake again, but keep doing it, right? World War One led to World War Two, and then, you know, it's been nothing but continual wars in some country since then. We'll never make the same again. Well, yeah, we keep doing it. So yeah, I just hope the kids that are being exposed to the other side of the narrative, the other side of the coin, are going to grow up to be much more disciplined in their thinking and think more critical rather than just knee-jerk believe the headline and move on. Or, you know, listen to the radio news. God, that comes on every 15 minutes. It's unbelievable. The propaganda machines are endless.
Endless.
Even now when we watch films with the kids, like, you know, if, you know, you have a movie night, you're like, okay, what were the hidden messages in that?
Mm-hmm.
Might have enjoyed the movie. It might have been fun. You know, we had our suspended disbelief for an hour and a half, 45 minutes, whatever it was. Where were the hidden messages? What do you think? And that leads to really interesting conversations. Yeah, very interesting ones, which is great. That's actually a good way to enjoy the movies again, because otherwise you can't. Like, it's just complete nonsense.
Isn't it? I had the same discussion with my kid, because I was like, dude, in the end, I cannot allow you to watch anything anymore because there's nothing out there. And I recommended him movies from when I was younger. And even that stuff is like, okay, it's not perfect, you know? And we have the same, okay, you can consume anything you would like, but you have to really think about what you're consuming. What does it do to you? What do they tell you? Blah, blah, blah. So work with the content instead of just swallowing the whole message in one setting. Work with the content. And I really feel like my kid is way better than me in all of these things, because for him, it comes naturally. He never lived any other life. I mean, I lived a normal life before him, and he's just used to live that, I would put it in quotation marks, crazy lifestyle, which is completely normal. It's human lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And he's better in this, and he has way more trust in himself than in anybody else. And he would rather be all alone for years than connecting with people he's not comfortable with. Or he would rather sit in silence for ages, he said, instead of consuming stuff that is hurting his soul. And I think this foundation, it's incredible. And I really think that a lot of unschooling kids that I met have this. They have like this unshakable belief in themselves and the knowledge, or the they really know 100% there is something crazy going out there, and it is okay to think that this is crazy and not I am crazy. I think me as a child, I was always put in the position of the crazy one, because I was always criticizing stuff that was going around around me, and now it's other way around. And I really, really enjoy that, especially if there are more unschooled, homeschooled kids around. The vibe is just very different. And this is why when I go out in the real world, I'm shocked every time, because this isn't the real world for me anymore. You know, I'm just surrounded by people who are with themselves and way more conscious. And I think this consciousness part, it's incredible. I don't know, maybe you can share something or have experience with your kids, because I think it's you have so many. Maybe there is, and they have been to school, maybe there's a change or a shift, because I saw a huge shift for my kid. And I see it all the time when we move, when this, when that, it's always like, okay, upgrade, 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 next upgrade. It's hilarious sometimes, because I'm like, okay, what's the next thing he's discovering without doing any kind of effort? He's just sleeping, waking up, and then he's into the next language, this or that. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's a couple of things going on. And this comes back to your first question, which I don't think I even answered, because we just got straight into rabbit holes. Like, the update is, yeah, we lived in France for 8 years, and there we did a mix of, we put the kids, so we'd been traveling long-term for almost 3 years, and that was just pure world schooling, unschooling. And then we found a longer-term, like, house sit in France, and that turned into a rental. And then we wanted the, we really wanted the kids to be proficient at second language. It's something that native English speakers are really, not incentivized to learn. That, you know, there's no incentive. It's too easy. That, you know, the English has reached the, you know, a global consensus, and that's just the way it is. So if you are born a native English speaker, you're not incentivized to go out and learn other languages. And we wanted to change that and give them that skill and that gift. So we put them into the local Montessori school in the French system. And they were there for a couple of years, and they picked up the language, and then lockdown happens and took them back out again. And they were unschooled ever since, except our oldest, she stayed in. She's more academic. So she she can do well in that system, or well enough. Like, you know, she finds solace in being graded and doing well and getting that positive kind of feedback and having some kind of structure. Whereas the other three were like, yeah, we ain't going back. Like, no way. And that's something you have to remember as well as a parent. Like, you got, even our twins are completely different personalities, like with completely different learning styles. You're dealing with multiple personalities. It's not just you've got, if I send the oldest to that school, then the next has to go to that school because they've got to have the same exact chances in life as the other one. Otherwise, it'd be unfair. Like, no, that's another complete trap to fall into. Total trap.
Yes, true.
You could be damaging that second child beyond all knowledge because they hate it. And, you know, anything could have happened in that 2 years. The whole ethos of the school could have changed. Like, they might be teaching you there's three genders and you're like, what? That came out of left field, didn't it? I mean, no one was expecting that, right?
So, it's true. It's so true.
They all learn completely differently. And so we are now in the UK, and our oldest, she wanted to further education. So she's doing a degree in university, and she's got a work placement set up over June, July, and August to go and work for a Bitcoin-focused company. So she'll be doing travel and internship for a Bitcoin company. So she'll be learning, you know, so many things by doing that. And I wonder, this will be the real test. If they offer a full-time position after 3 months, what does she do? Do you go back to university, or do you take this opportunity? Do you truly value that degree that all of a sudden has been completely ousted as being worthless because you have a job? Like, you know, so you, that's going to be a very interesting inflection point. And I wonder where, you know, but fun to go through that thought process, because, you know, sunk cost fallacy, what, another 2 years at university, or you'll be 2 years into a career with, you know, full pay rather than no pay or debt. Like, you know, so these are real decisions, right? Real life decisions. Our 17-year-old, she sat in the UK. You have GCSEs. She had done all of those independently, just through online learning. Some in person learning as well with tutors, or like the examination center that we would take her to. So to pass the exam, again, people might not realize this. If you want your kids to sit at GCSE, you just find the local examination certified board or whatever, and you pay the £100 to sit the paper, to sit the same paper that every other kid is sitting at the same time. But instead of it being in a gym of 250 sweaty people in like mid-July, it's with 15 other weirdo homeschool, unschooled kids in a perfectly nice setting, and they're sitting exactly the same paper. And she passed all those. And so she wanted to try her hand at A-levels, but she didn't want to do that in French. So that kind of pushed our hand to find something. And we found a for her. And then we found a Sudbury Valley school in Southeast UK. Nice. We're like, oh shit. And the idea of Sudbury Valley is, it's 3 times a week, 9:30 to 3. Lessons are available for those that want to go to the lessons, and it's an opt-in environment, and it's all mixed ages and whatever else. And there's 60 kids there. And my favorite, so Peter Gray wrote about this school in his book, Free to Learn. And my favorite story of Peter's in that book was about the kid that just sat at the fishing pond all alone for days on end, didn't interact with anybody else, just sat there fishing all by himself. And the staff were perfectly happy for him to do that, as long as they knew where he was, and they, you know, someone checked in on him every other hour or something, whatever it was, and he was perfectly safe. There was no effort to, like, you know, put your arm around him, come in, come join the other kids. He's like, no, this is self-directed education. This is the ethos here. And Peter caught up with him later in life. Just one day he figured out, oh, I want to be an engineer. And that was it. Laser eye focus on becoming an electrical engineer. Went on to, you know, be successful at this, that, and like, because we don't give the kids time anymore. So yes. What's happening now with my 14-year-olds is they're getting to the point where they're coming to Claire and I and saying, right, we feel we want to learn more stuff. Like, we're ready. Like, we wouldn't mind having a shot at, you know, a math or an English or, you know, a French exam or something, just to see what happens. And so we're at this point now where we're exploring. We're like, all right, okay, let's see what's out there. What are the other options out there? And we're new to the country again. So we're plugging into the community. We found a local unschooling, homeschooling community. They're pointing us towards vocational colleges where you can, there are a few dotted around here. One of them specializes in art and creative design. One of them specializes in like sports science. Another one specializes in like land management and horticultural and biological studies. So that's where we're at. That's going to be our next chapter. So yeah, watch this space. And next time I come on, I can tell you where this all led.
Nice. That's really cool. They're independent, and this is how it should be, really.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been talking about summer school, right? Summer Hill. Summer school. I'm so stupid.
Oh, no, Sudbury Valley. Summer Hill is there. There is a Summer Hill in the UK that was originally out of the UK, but Sudbury Valley was modelled on. Summer Hill was A.S. Neil, wasn't it? I think he started that. Exactly. Sudbury Valley started in the US, but modeled very much on A.S. Neil's work. And the founder of that was Daniel Greenberg, I think the name escapes me right now. But they're very, very similar. So if anybody's looking for these kind of places, yeah, you want to find a Summer Hill or a Sudbury Valley. And there might even be more than that now that are, you know, imitating and picking up on their lead. But that's where we're at. And thanks for having me back, Alex. Really appreciate it.
Same. Thank you so much for making time for this and giving me the update and ranting with me about the world. Really fun.
Let's leave it on positive note. We're healing. The world is healing.
We're healing. Yeah, really. We are healing. Everyone's healing. I really hope that. Nice. Thank you so much. Really, I appreciate that a lot. And until next time.
Until next time. Cheers, Alex.
Wildlife and squatting with my mama.
I'm glad I'm good.